Good morning. If I could take care of a few things before we begin. Number one, thank you, Otis, for those songs. That has led us in a great way. And also, thank you, Knight family. Isn't it great to see three generations leading worship today? That is such a special thing. Just real quickly, we are going to be having a seminar right after worship as quickly as we can start because we want to give him as much time as we can. And so if you are participating in that, please just stick around. We will have donuts and coffee available for the seminar participants in the lobby right back here, so you don't have to go back into the other classroom. So we will have donut police back there during worship, so don't try to go back there and get some now. But we do have big, burly security guys back there to make sure. But if you're participating in that, we want to honor you for that and thank you for being a part of this. I've been getting a lot of questions this week as we talked about the idea of what is a challenging child. There's a lot of different definitions, but I want to begin by just kind of giving you a little bit of a test to see if you could figure out which the challenging child is. For instance, if I was going to show you this picture right here, or this picture, which one would you say is the challenging child? Don't say out loud, just kind of keep score in your head. Or if I showed you this picture and this picture, which one would you say is the challenging child? Or if I showed you this picture or this picture, which one would you say is the challenging child? Maybe one or two more. Let's look at this. Would you say this one is the challenging child? Or would you say this one is the challenging child? And then we'll show you this picture. Which one of these would you say is the challenging child? Okay, that's just a blatant way to show you my grandson. But although my parents would say the challenging child would be the one on the left. But I do show you that picture for another reason. I want you to think just for a second. When we think about our own children, when we think about the idea of what a challenging child is, I wonder if we forget that at some point we may be the challenging child. In fact, some of you may look like this next picture if you think about it. We are the challenging children. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about that, but I think before we begin to look at the idea of challenging children and how to handle those kind of situations, I think we may have to realize that we are challenging children ourselves. As you grew up, as you developed into adulthood, you had many challenges. And some of those challenges you did well, and some of those you didn't do well. In fact, some of you may have written a letter similar to the one that I'm going to read, and as part of the lesson today, we'll hear a story that's very similar to one that you're very familiar with. Maybe a Dear Dad letter that goes something like this. Dear Dad, it's been more than a year now. I've traveled east to west. I've had dozens of jobs. None of them amounted to very much, and always the same questions. How much education have you got? It seems they always want college men for good jobs. Dad, you and Mother were right about everything. I know now that the work on the farm didn't hurt me, and I'm convinced I need college. I'm also convinced that both of you loved me. That was not easy for me to write, and I couldn't have written it a year ago. I've met some nice people since I've been away, as well as some rough and tough people. I thought I could take all kinds, but sometimes it wasn't so easy, especially not having a good home to come to at night where there was love and security. I wasn't really aware of what a home means until I'd been away for a few months. Dad, I've learned a lesson. I want to come home. I know you said if I left that I couldn't come back, but I'm praying you'll change your mind. I know I made you terribly angry that day, and I hurt you too. I wouldn't blame you if you refused me, but I must ask you. I know I should have written before, but I was afraid you wouldn't want to hear from me. I want to come home and be part of a family again. I'd like to go to college and learn how to be a successful farmer, and then if you let me, maybe I could farm with you. I'm on the road now, so you won't be able to answer me by letter, but in a few days, I don't know what day because I'm hitchhiking, I'll be passing the farm. And Dad, if you'll let me come home, please just leave the porch light on. I'll make it a point to pass at night. And if there's no light, I'll just keep going and I won't have any hard feelings if the porch is dark. I'll understand. Give my love to Mom and the girls. Love your son. Maybe you've been there. Maybe the conversation didn't happen with your earthly father. Maybe that conversation happened with God, and as you were wandering through the valley of the shadow of death, you had a lot of fears. You had a lot of things that were going through your mind and trying to figure out exactly what is right and what is wrong and which way do I need to go. And you realized that at some point, maybe your parents did have something to say. As a very famous man once said, it seemed like the older I got, the more wiser my parents got. That story may sound very familiar. In fact, those stories have been going on for a long time. In fact, there's a story that Jesus told that's very similar to that. In fact, all the times that he was dealing with situations with his disciples, I wonder if he was trying to make a point to them as well as to the people that were around him. In fact, if you turn to Luke 15, we'll take a look at that story and try to figure out, where do we fit into this story? We don't tend to see ourselves as prodigals very often, but I'm guessing that if you're like me, there were times where you were away from God, where you made choices that just weren't right. And maybe you had to write a letter to God. It was all in your mind, maybe, or maybe you said something similar to what was said earlier in this story, but you knew you needed to do something different. Let's look at Luke chapter 15 and take a look at this story. Jesus is telling these parables. And it says, Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger one says to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now back then, the younger child could usually get about a third of the estate. The older child would get two-thirds as the oldest. And he decided he was done. He decided he was ready. So I said, Father, just give me my stuff now. In a sense, he was almost saying, I wish you were dead. So you can imagine kind of the hurt that this would cause, the feeling that this would cause the father. So he divided the property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country. He wanted to get away. How many times have you heard teenagers say, I just got to get out of here. I just got to get out of this town. He had to get away for whatever reason. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And you can imagine what it would be like to have everything you think you want, and then all of a sudden lose it. He began to be in need. So he went, hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out in the fields to feed pigs. Have you ever hit bottom? Have you ever been in that situation where you thought you had everything you needed and then all of a sudden it was gone and you didn't know what else to do? And so you find yourself slopping pigs, whatever that means in your context. You see, there's times that we as challenging children make mistakes. There's times that we as challenging children, we don't do what's right. And so one of the things that we've got to realize is as challenging children, our attitude can go from rebellion to repentance fairly often. Like the rebellious son, our attitudes can go from rebellious to fairly quickly. And if you're like me, you've done that. Oh, you know, you've done the deal where you've tried your best, you've done everything you can to do what's right, and it seems like you still fall and you still have problems. And that happens over and over again. You know what? I'm glad that we have the Old Testament. Anybody besides me glad we have the Old Testament? You know why? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the Israelites, who seemed like they rebelled against God over and over, and God would send a prophet, and the prophet would tell them what to do, and then they'd do it, and everything would be great for a while, and then they decided to go against God again. And so God would send a prophet, and they went through the whole process. Have you ever felt like that yourself? You go through that same process over and over and over again? If you go to the next slide, that is our attitude. Our attitude as challenging children can go from rebellion to repentance fairly often. As I folded the letter and put it into an envelope, I felt refreshing relief. So we go back to the Dear Dad letter. It was as if a heavy load had been lifted from my shoulders. I put the letter into my shirt pocket and lugged my beat-up suitcase closer to the side of the road and held out my thumb to the first passing car. I had a long way to go before I'd know the answer. Night came and I'd only gotten 50 or 60 miles since noon. I'd mailed the letter in a little insignificant post office, and after I dropped the letter into an out-of-town slot, I was a little bit nervous. Perhaps I shouldn't have mailed it, but it was done, and I had to be on my way. Sometime the following day, the rides had gotten few and far between. I hadn't any sleep the night before, and I was weary as well as tired, and crossing over the road to a giant oak at the edge of a field, I stretched out on the grass and tried to sleep. But sleep did not come easily. In a nearby field, a tractor hummed pleasantly. Two dogs chased a rabbit within a few yards of me. And from the farmhouse, nestled in a clump of trees on a hill, I could hear small children engaged in play. A rooster crowed and a hen cackled. And I imagined I could smell fresh apple pie. Then with closed eyes, I could vividly see my own home, the one that I had so recklessly left in a moment of anger. I wondered what my little sisters were doing. They could be such pests, but in their eyes, I could do no wrong. And oh, how my mother could cook, and she was always saying as we sat down to eat, "I fixed this just for you, son." I couldn't bear my thoughts any longer. I got to my feet, and with the refreshing smell of fresh-cut hay in my nostrils, I started down the desolate road, the long road home. But was it still my home? My father was fair-minded, but he was strong-willed. The car picked me up, and it was good to have someone to talk with. The driver was a salesman and very pleasant. "Where are you going, son?" he asked good-naturedly. There was a long silence before I said, "Home." "Where have you been?" he asked. I knew he wasn't prying. There was something about his face that told me he was interested. "All over," I said. "Been away from home long?" I smiled a little self-conscious and said, "Oh, about a year, 1 month, 2 days, 36 minutes. He didn't look at me, but he smiled, and I knew he understood. He told me about his family. He had two sons. One was my age and one was older. And as darkness approached, he found a place to eat and insisted that I join him. I was dirty and told him I would shame him, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. He was going to spend the night there, and after we'd eaten, he talked me into doing that as well. He reasoned that I could get cleaned up, get some rest before going on, and somehow he reminded me of my father. I told him I had very little money, and after he'd brought my supper, I couldn't let him spend any more on me, but I stayed, and the next morning after breakfast, I tried to thank him, but he said, 'You're a fine boy. You see, my older son ran away from home 2 years ago. 2 years and 15 days, 3 minutes, 36 seconds. He looked away and then said, "I hope somebody will be nice to my son." I didn't know what to say. He shook my hand and smiled warmly. "Thank you, sir, for everything," I stammered, "and I hope..." "Thank you," he said, "and good luck." The question I think about is the question he asked. Been away from home long? Been away from that place that you have all the security that you need, all of the love and compassion and forgiveness? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. If we can go to the next slide. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." All of these things indicating he was part of this family. He was part of royalty. He was part of the owner's family. "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. You see, here's the thing. Our advantage as challenging children is that we have a loving father. Amen? We have a father that cares for us, that is looking for us, that is standing at the gate waiting for us, and not just waiting for us, but running to us. How long have you been away? Like this young man that struggled and thought, maybe if I could just go back and just be a slave in my father's house. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be royalty with him. God wants you to be sons and daughters of the king. And when we're looking and we're trying to figure out what can we do, he's saying, "Let me come to you." How does this story pan out? Dear Dad, 2 days later, I was within 50 miles of home. I hadn't had a ride for hours. Darkness came slowly. I walked, not waiting for anyone to stop. Some inner force was driving me forward, homeward. But the faster I walked, the more doubts I had. Suppose the porch should be dark. What would I do? Where would I go? A big truck and trailer slowed and stopped, and I ran and got in. The truck driver says, "How far are you going?" "Oh, about 40 or 50 miles from here. Are you going that way?" "Well, I'm going farther." There was very little conversation. He wasn't easy to talk to. I pretended to be sleepy and leaned back and closed my eyes. About 30 minutes later, rain began to fall slowly at first, and then it was coming down in sheets. I dozed, awoke, and dozed again. And then with the rain pouring, we were nearing my father's farm. I was wide awake. Would there be a light on the porch? I was straining my eyes to see through the darkness and the rain, and suddenly we were there. I couldn't look at first. I couldn't bear to look and not see a light. I closed my eyes tightly and my heart pounded. The driver chuckled and spoke roughly. "Would you look at that? Would you look at that? That house there. Must be some kind of nut. 3 or 4 chairs were sitting on the porch with lighted lamps in every one of them, and an old man was out there with a flashlight aimed toward the road. And the porch light was on too." That's God. That is God, the Father, who is looking for us with every light on in the house, saying, "Come on." Now, don't you wish the story ended there? I always thought, Jesus, you're not a very good storyteller. Because you get to the happy ending and then you ruin it with the rest of the story. But as always, Jesus had a point. I get frustrated when I read this. Because you get to a point where you see there was something else going on, but kind of behind the scenes. And if you continue reading, you see there was another son. We'll call him the sulking son. Who had been there all his life. He had respected his father. He had done everything he was supposed to do. Maybe even took care of his father. Meanwhile, the older son, if you keep reading, was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he said, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." And you can imagine the anger of this older brother because, you know, they had been fattening this calf up for a big party. Not for this brother that will remain nameless. He gets angry. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And here's the last thing I want to say about our actions as challenging children can sometimes have consequences. And it affects other people. Maybe it affects other family members. But you know what? The main point of what we're trying to say today is that it doesn't matter if we're the younger son. It doesn't matter if we're the older brother. We still have a loving Father that loves us and takes care of us and forgives us. Even when we run from Him, even when we sulk and get angry about things that just don't seem fair in life. And maybe they're not fair. But we still have a loving Father. There was a group a few years ago called Phillips, Craig, and Dean that sang a song called "When God Ran." And I want to close out by reading this particular song. And I want you to think about, in your own life, where does this story fit in? It goes like this. "Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock and omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms. He held my head to his chest and said, 'My son's come home again.' Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, 'Son, do you know I still love you?' He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things could ever be the same. And then one night, I remembered his love for me, and down that dusty road ahead, I could see it was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms. He held my head to his chest and he said, 'My son's come home again.' Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, 'Son, do you know I still love you?' He caught me by surprise and he brought me to my knees. When God ran, I saw him run to me. I was so ashamed, all alone, and so far away. But now I know that he's been waiting for this day, this day. I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest and said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, I felt his love for me again. He ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest and said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son." He called me son. And he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, in the family of God, and the things that you've faced in your life. You may be in a very difficult place. Maybe today you've realized that you are the challenging child, like all of us. But we have a God that runs to us, that wants us to be in his arms, and wants to call us son and daughter, and wants us to be able to be a part of that great family. We are challenging children. And another point of what we're trying to make is before we can look at our own kids and other people's kids, we have to realize that we are challenging children. But we have a Father that loves us. And the type of love that He has for us is what we should have for our own children. Unconditional. There may be people here that are not Christians yet. And if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you and your family to model that, to be that, to be the spiritual example for your family and become a Christian by being baptized into Christ. Some of you have been Christians a long time. Maybe you've been one of those challenging children and need to change. And, you know, we have this thing we have called the invitation song, and it's kind of a scary thing because getting in front of a lot of people is not easy. But picture God standing here, running to you, putting his arms around you and saying, "Son, daughter, do you know I still love you? And I always will." If you have a need, come forward as we stand and sing.